welcome to Temple of Health Radio Show. This is Dr. Susan Kolb, and I'm here with my guest, Dr. Elizabeth Maxim. And today we're going to be discussing her book, Riding the Waves, Diagnosing, Treating, and Living with EMF Sensitivity. This is a topic that's not so well known in the United States, although I feel a lot of people suffer from it. It's been better studied in Europe and recognized in Europe. And a great deal of people are probably affected by this to some extent, but Elizabeth was affected to it by a great extent, and she became kind of a health detective and figured out a lot about this disease, which I found very interesting. Thanks for joining us, Elizabeth.
Oh, thank you for having me on the show, Dr. Kolb. Thank you for the opportunity to help more people, because you are right. I think a lot more people are suffering from this. They just don't understand it and don't realize, because the symptoms can be generic and could apply to a lot of different conditions. And so we don't realize it's actually electromagnetic sensitivity. In fact, I've had some people even recently say, "You mean that's real?"
That's right. Well, you know, a lot of women and children are affected by this, most likely. The people who tend to be more sensitive, I think, are the ones that are more likely to have this happen. And there are also, you know, a great number of people who have chemical sensitivity. A lot of my patients, as you probably know, have defective silicone implants and get exposed to a lot of chemicals leaking out of the implants and silicone. And they can't go into the mall where the cosmetic section is with all the fragrances. They get very nauseated and very sick. And a certain percentage of them actually go on to develop EMF sensitivity. So we live in a world with a massive number of chemicals, and I hope today you'll share what you found, because I found it fascinating, about the EMF that's naturally based. When we think of EMF, we think of the cell towers and the Wi-Fi and the smart meters and, you know, all the stuff that we live with, especially in the city. But you found that there's a great deal of EMF problems just naturally, especially in the fault lines, which I found was fascinating.
Yes, and it surprised me, because I hadn't even realized it, but living in the Bay Area with all those fault lines, and I, through this detective work, realized that that's where I was the sickest, was when I was closest to those fault lines. And what, after a lot of research I did, in the days and weeks prior to an earthquake, ultra low and very low electromagnetic frequencies come out of those fault lines. That is a warning system. They've done a lot of research in Stanford and Tokyo and the University of Arizona, and on tracking these and these GMS that come out of the ground. And the other place, and I noticed research, the thunderclouds that come in before storms also have the same ultra-low and very low frequencies. And what I noticed is a pattern: when there's a very large earthquake anywhere on the Earth, no matter what part of the planet, within a very short amount of time of that, you'll find a massive storm system coming in. And I've determined that what happens is, after the earthquake, then there are no frequencies coming out of that fault line, and it creates a vacuum that draws the frequencies in from the atmosphere. So you'll get tropical storms, tropical depressions, massive thunderstorm systems coming in. What I also learned over the research is that when they do the fracking, they're opening, they're creating an opening in the ground for which those frequencies escape. And so you'll get that same kind of behavior. So it's happened in northern Colorado. It happened in Oklahoma, Kansas. You can watch, there's this pattern, and it's the ultra-low and very low frequencies. And those do affect people. In fact, there's an online test for headphones, and I went through listening to different frequencies, and when I listened to the 51, the same thing in my spine that I used to get in those locations. And that's that real very low frequency. And the cell towers and Wi-Fi is farther up the frequency, so that doesn't really, sometimes people don't understand what it is that's affecting them. They're assuming it's the cell towers, but it could be those ultra-low ones.
Yeah, and there's a lot of research being done in the military with these ultra-low frequencies, especially as communication devices for long distances. So I would imagine that if that stuff is being tested or used, and probably a lot of it's top secret, so we don't know if it's really being used, that if you're in that area, those ultra-low frequency waves would affect you.
Absolutely. In fact, I've lived near some military bases and definitely had some experiences. And ironically, it was military research that helped me find some relief, some of my remedies. And that is because I was at a Borders bookstore in San Francisco searching for an explanation for why my abilities, I have strong sixth sense, had just suddenly disappeared. And I found a book by Russell Targ, who'd been involved with the military IRVA program Stargate, which is they were researching paranormal abilities. Well, that led me to the intention experiments. And through that, they found that the research was they were learning how to block the electromagnetic frequencies that were affecting people. So it was the military research that ended up helping me find some remedies. And once I got the remedies where the symptoms were not as severe, then I could really do some research into the whole of it, really deep dive and get to the root. And I'm sure you're not going to be surprised, but I ended up finding out that the root cause was heavy metal poisoning.
Right, exactly. Well, the research, I wanted to mention that we've interviewed Dr. Targ about 6 times, and we've interviewed the author of the intention experiments as well. And just to go back, there are certain electromagnetic environments in which the psychic senses are very, very elevated. And then some, like you say, when it's the opposite, that they're gone. And so the electromagnetic environment definitely can affect the sixth sense or the many of the psi phenomena that by the way, our government uses a great deal and is still using psychic spying. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
Yeah, if people wanted to know more about that, they can. It's all available, the information, at least on the past research, which was fortunate for me because I was able to use that to help get a better understanding of the electromagnetic frequencies and how they do affect humans. And interestingly, Ingo Swann, who was also a part of that program, found that this understanding has gone back pretty ancient in history, where they understand the environment. In fact, if you look at like Feng Shui or some of the indigenous tribes that are very much in touch with nature, they understood the environment. So some of the work that they drew on how to protect themselves actually came from ancient texts, the Tibet or Sanskrit.
That's true. I wanted to mention that there's not a lot of medical research that's been done on EMF, but some of the Japanese work shows that there's very, very high levels of free radicals in the blood. And I think that could, and then there's the basis, like you said, of heavy metal poisoning underlying some of these problems as well. So would you like to, let's back up a little bit, though, and just tell the listening audience a little bit about how you became, what your first symptoms were and what you found that helped them. Briefly tell your story and because you kind of gradually figured things out by investigating them, which I found fascinating.
Yeah, so in 2000, I got a job transfer to the Bay Area and was in the East Bay in Pleasanton, and they were in a temporary, in an apartment while we were getting a lay of the land, and immediately, within weeks of moving there, started suffering extreme fatigue, difficulty sleeping, migraines, which I hadn't had in years, and the fatigue didn't make any sense. It was really debilitating. And then we bought a place in San Francisco. All the symptoms vanished almost immediately. Moved back to the East Bay 4 years later in Walnut Creek. And within weeks of moving there, it was extreme, horrible fatigue, debilitating, and also difficulty concentrating. And it just got awful. And I started to notice that every time I left that area, I felt fine. And mm-hmm. that's kind of got me to pay attention.
It's like a switch. It's very interesting.
Yes. Yeah, just it like literally a switch. Was. Yeah. So we flipped it on, flipped it off. I would get this really heavy feeling in my forehead, and it was like it was pulling me down. And I was, it got so bad with the fatigue, I couldn't drive. I could barely function. I couldn't think right. Mm-hmm. It was really bad. And
you use the term like someone pours molasses on your brain. I think that's an important description.
It was like I would be standing on one side of a ravine, looking at a bridge over the ravine and knowing I had to cross the ravine. It was very important, and I couldn't do it. It was as if my whole body was frozen in place. I couldn't even pick up my leg to take one step. It was you weren't able to function, and you knew something was wrong. I thought, this isn't me, you know, and we were driving back from San Francisco one day, and I looked over at my husband, and he's an electrical engineer, which helped because of what we discovered. And I said, well, this is where I start to feel sick. And he said, well, this is the Calaveras Fault. And I said, then I feel okay up there, and then at Happy Valley Road, I start to feel sick again. He said, it was the Hayward Fault first. And he said, well, that's the Calaveras Fault.
Thank God he knew where the faults were.
Yeah, and, well, they're pretty active there. They pop a lot. And I looked at him. I said, do you think it could be the EMS? You know? And he said, yeah, that's a pretty big opening in the earth. It sure would be coming up. It's a giant magnet at the core. And we got into this whole discussion. And so then I was talking with a friend of mine who wrote the foreword in the book, Derek, and he's an ME. And he said, well, yeah, it's very possible, and it'd be easy enough to test. Map out. Do a blind mapping of, all the fault lines. And so my husband put that together, and we drove all over the Bay Area. Every time I went over a fault line, it was like someone flipped that switch on. I got symptoms. And I even identified ones that weren't on the map. And there was an earthquake, and there's one off of four, and then there was an earthquake that happened after that to validate that it was there. Mm-hmm. And it was, at one point, I was standing in my living room, and talking to my husband, and all of a sudden I said, I was really, really sick. I thought, why am I so sick? I said, we're going to have an earthquake. It's going to be on this fault line, this day, this time. That's those GMFs that come out of the ground increase, and with their increase, I was getting sicker. That was why my levels of symptoms and the fatigue was going up and down like a yo-yo. Which is very wearing on you because you can't, there's no visible explanation. Nothing changed. I didn't change my diet or my routine, and suddenly I was so much sicker. Once I realized it was tied to the fault lines, it helped my sanity. I thought I was losing it before that.
Mm-hmm.
And
doctors don't understand this disease at all. In fact, most have never even heard of it.
That is the truth, and I was talking to multiple doctors. I was having all these medical tests, blood work, and everything came up that I was fine. There was no physical explanation for why I was having these symptoms. And the other thing is a lot of doctors don't believe it's a real condition.
Tell us a little bit about the histamine component.
Oh.
I found that very interesting.
Yeah, so as you know, our bodies release histamine when there is a reaction to something, like an allergic reaction. It's like the body telling, get away from this if it's pollen or whatever it's allergic to. And I realized that was the type of reaction my system was going through, and I later figured out that it has to do with sound. The electromagnetic frequencies that come out of the earth before an earthquake. An earthquake is a sound. It's a sound wave.
Mm-hmm.
And it's processed in the ear as the ear interprets, or when the neurotransmitters go to the brain, it's interpreted as a threat. So the body goes into that fight or flee mode, and it releases histamine to get your attention, get away from this threat. And so that's where the rash came in and the other symptoms that I had that people associate with allergies. That's why a lot of people.
So watery eyes and runny nose.
Yes, and a burning, itchy eyes, and headaches, even, and like I said, the skin itching, and some anti-allergy medication did help a little bit, which sort of supported that. And so that's where I went at it as, okay, why did I develop this as an allergy? Why am I suddenly allergic to the earth? So that got me looking at the immune system, strengthening the immune system, and then trying to do the research and kind of going in from that. But first, I had to find things just to relieve the symptoms. And that's where I fell back, actually, on technology instead of medicine first, because these are electromagnetic frequencies. They obey the laws of physics. So I used the information that I learned through Lynn McTaggart's work with the intention experiments and Dr. Targ's work, and found the remedies. And once the symptoms were relieved to a degree where I wasn't suffering, then I could go back to the holistic medicine side and look for the root cause and how to fix it, cure it, as opposed to just relieving symptoms. And so what I did is I determined that I'd been exposed to heavy metals through the water and also the environment there. And to repair the immune system, I needed to get those heavy metal toxins out and replace them with the nutrients so that my adrenal glands could once again produce the chemicals to function normally. And once I did that, that is when I actually cured the electromagnetic sensitivity. So there's two sides to it. You can relieve the symptoms with the remedies that I discovered and I list in my book, and that'll make you feel better, but it's misleading because you could still have the problem, the root cause. You need, even though you're feeling better, I encourage people to go the next step and go to, that's why I write things in such a way that they can take it to their doctor who may not understand this and say, these are the tests that you can run to find out what's going on. These are the, this is the approach you can do to remedy this.
Yeah, there's
and
about,
I was really excited when I was excited when you
I just wanted to interject
that
there's about 30 I'm sorry, about 30% of the population have detoxification defects, and they're the ones that are prone to heavy metal toxicity. But it's really, really difficult to avoid heavy metal toxicity in our environment if you have a detoxification defect. So the thing, I'm going to tie that back to free radicals. There's a two-step process of detoxification. The first process is the liver enzymes, but the second process involves glutathione. And if you don't have enough glutathione, then what happens is you have an increase, a significant increase in free radicals. And remember when I said the only thing that they could find with EMF in these studies were an abnormally high level of free radicals in the blood. So that ties it back to your, you know, your theory about heavy metals. It really is a detoxification defect. It's not just heavy metals. It's also chemicals.
It is. You're right. And it's the body's inability to throw off those toxins, and it gets the upper hand on it. And it's a domino effect, and it leads to this sensitivity and the symptoms that go with that.
So tell us some of the things about the copper bracelets and some of the other, the silver and copper, and how that can help relieve symptoms.
Absolutely, and that was a godsend when I discovered that. And again, that I had been researching what Irva was doing, and they put them in rooms that were shielded with copper. And so I initially went to the hardware store and tried just some copper piping and different copper pieces I got, and it didn't work. And then I went back, and there was a new age store, and they had these bracelets that were they were magnetic, but they had copper, silver, and zinc. It was jeweler's brass, so that's zinc in there. And I put those on and immediately felt so much better. And the clarity of thinking, the heaviness of my forehead went away. I was able to think clearly. My fatigue started to drop off immediately. I was so excited. That was after putting one on, so I bought four. I put a couple on each wrist. Then I went to Silverworks in town, and I got a silver necklace, and I started to put some charms on there that were the copper. And, you know, I went back to my networking days from when I was in tech and, you know, copper wire. So it made a great deal of sense to me from a physics perspective that this was helping. And it was redirecting the EMF. It was like it went into the bracelet and not into my cells. So then I was really curious about that and decided, because of where I lived in California, I could go to different parts of the mountains where there was copper and silver in the ground and test how I felt without the bracelets. And I felt really good in those same areas. And it made sense. So then I went and I looked at a metals chart, the conductivity chart. Silver is at the top. Gold is actually number one, but it's expensive. So silver was better, and then copper. And then at the very bottom, you had steel. So the lower down, the less protective it is. The higher up that is on that kind of conductivity chart for metal, the better it is at helping to redirect those frequencies away from the body. So metals inside the body, not good. Metals outside the body, very helpful. And there were some symptoms that were, for example, I'd get a tightness in my chest and difficulty breathing was one of the symptoms I had. When I put the silver necklace on with the copper and jeweler's brass charms on it, that went away. The tightness went away. The breathing freed up. It has to be a decent amount of metal as well. So rings didn't really do it. I had a handful of charms. It didn't have to be the highest, purest quality from the stuff I got in store. Some of it I ordered it from Amazon. More definitely seemed to be better. At one point, I ended up with six of those bracelets on, and it was a godsend. That, and interestingly, about a week and a half after I started wearing those bracelets, my abilities came back, and that was, it's the best feeling. I wanted my life to be normal. It had been turned into a nightmare. I didn't understand why. I guess I really thought I was losing my mind and nothing was working. So to start, there was a huge breakthrough with those bracelets.
Yeah, I think all of these things are very, very important to get out to the public. One of my experiences with EMF sensitivity was I was talking to an emergency room physician who said every time he held the cell phone up to his ear, he would break out in a rash on that side of his face, and he could get a headache as well if he didn't get it away. So I think different people are sensitive to different areas of the EMF fields. As you explained, you're very sensitive to the low frequencies that are coming up out of the fault lines. And other people are more sensitive to the frequencies coming out of cell phones or cell towers or smart meters. I know right now we use applied kinesiology a lot to determine the cause of cancer. And, of course, electromagnetics is a big one now, and it's usually the smart meters. And a lot of times it's the smart meters in your neighbor's house, so you can't get away from it other than sleeping in a Faraday cage, which you can purchase them for about $1,000 on, or $600 on Amazon, and then that blocks everything.
And I've also heard that chicken wire is like a poor man's Faraday cage. So some people have done chicken wire, but it does. There's an anecdotal side effect to that. A lot of people that do that end up reporting very psychic dreams and very all of a sudden psychic experiences because those frequencies are blocked. And you're right that different people are sensitive to different parts of the frequency or spectrum, which makes it very difficult to that's part of the reason it's not understood, because they're affected by two different people for different things. Also, their symptoms are different. They don't necessarily realize that the symptoms they have are from the sensitivity, because, again, if they're kind of generic, they could apply to a lot of different conditions, including multiple chemical sensitivity and other ones that I just, and I put that in the book. I did a listing of a chart listing the symptoms, and just that's part of the reason it's very not well understood or misdiagnosed. As I encourage people to keep a diary with them to write down where their symptoms are and what happens. That's the best way, and the more information.
Yeah, I have come to conclude that with electromagnetic sensitivity, that you have the usual symptoms like headache, fatigue, rashes, the things you described. I'm going to look out more for the histamine thing, though, because I think I didn't know that before I read your book. But there's also very weird symptoms, especially neurological symptoms. You describe these stabbing pains, you know, the things that are, that's what makes me think about EMF sensitivity, or these very strange neurological symptoms. Would you like to mention a few of those so the listening audience can understand what they are?
I'm trying to think of what you would consider strange. I know that the heaviness in the forehead, that feeling of molasses mm-hmm. on my brain, I thought were really strange. Right. I didn't understand. Those weren't typical.
Those aren't typical at all.
It's like a procrastination. That mm-hmm. was, you know, you need to do something, and you're sitting there, and mm-hmm. you're thinking, I got to get up, I got to do this, and you can't, and
right.
you can't make yourself care. This weird mm-hmm. apathy as well will set in. That mm-hmm. one is a very typical, sense of paranoia, and is also another one was a dark hopelessness. Those are kind of more on the emotional side, but they come out of nowhere.
Right.
And you again, you're knowing that it's not you.
Right.
It's, God, you know, what is going on? This is not me. And also, you get these odd ideas to do things. So, as an example, I would be driving over this Sunol area, and every single time I'd reach for chewing gum, and I don't chew gum. And
mm-hmm.
I later realized it was because of that the pressure buildup in my ear, kind of like when you're on a plane and you're changing altitude.
Right. Yeah.
The chewing of the gum actually helped relieve that, and it was so unconscious. Mm-hmm. So you start to do things, and they're very strange. Or you'll mm-hmm. have cravings. I write about the red wine and the margarita cravings. That made no sense to me. So your behavior actually mm-hmm. starts changing. You're doing
well,
very strange things.
Red wine is resveratrol, though, and resveratrol is very effective at decreasing free radicals in the blood. So, you know, there is scientific reasons for it.
Right. It what made it interesting at the time was I wasn't putting that together. I just was. It was behavior
yeah.
and the need to do
right,
certain
right.
things that were unconscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's.
And
you're right. When
yeah.
you have cravings, when you have these weird neurological and psychological reactions with no reason to have them, I think you do need to think about EMF sensitivity. I really do.
Absolutely. And that's why it's important to get this information out there, because I don't think people consider it. And consider
no,
that there's
they don't.
The whole spectrum of them, and also it's. The more of them that there are in an area from different sources, the more likely that you are to suffer from it. Like you said, your neighbor's
mm-hmm.
Stuff as well as yours. In fact, if you anybody with a cell phone, if you look on and see how many Wi-Fi signals are going in the area, you know, usually 10 to 15 come up to choose from. And although Wi-Fi didn't really, certain frequencies of Wi-Fi, certain of them, there's the 2.4 and there was 5 and affected me, but it was so inconsistent, and that mm-hmm. that was another piece that made it really hard to understand, well, am I affected by this, or am I not, and that made some of the experiments very difficult. Plus, after turning it on and off and on and off for a while, you get to the point where your body's confused. It
mm-hmm.
doesn't know, you can't tell anymore what's going on, so the detective work is very hard.
Yeah, I think if people are savvy, they're going to start using 5G. And
mm-hmm.
I think that if people develop any of these symptoms with 5G, that they need to consider that it could be EMF sensitivity. There's been predictions that 5G is going to bring out a lot of symptoms in the people who are sensitive. So just keep your eye on that, you know, that could be. The Faraday cage is very effective if you just want to get all waves out. I actually sleep in a Faraday cage myself, but for safety reasons, because I do things that sort of piss off the powers that be, and microwaves
uh-huh.
is one of the things I like to use. So when I started doing certain surgeries, I was guided to sleep in a Faraday cage. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the two kinds of energy that we're affected by. One is the electromagnetic spectrum, which we've been talking about, and that's everywhere from these very, very low frequency waves coming out of the fault lines all the way up to X-rays and even gamma rays and cosmic rays, all the way up. So you can be sensitive to anything on that thing. But then there's something else that we need to talk about, which are more like scalar energy. Scalar energy is a multidimensional energy that I wanted to bring up ley lines, which are lines of decreased, I guess, scalar energy, decreased Earth. Well, it's not really Earth. It's more like life force energy. And when somebody sleeps on an area with a low scalar wave energy, like a ley line, they can get cancer. And this is a very common cause of cancer. In fact, I think about between 50 and 70% of people who develop cancer have at some point anyway at least spent part of their lives on this. It could be an office chair, you know, over a thing, or sleeping is especially dangerous. So we all always have to check to see if they're in an area of low energy, but not the electromagnetic kind. It's more the scalar kind. And I'm going to be having on this show an expert in this area. His name is Dr. Kareem, and he has written a book called Biogeometry Signatures, Harmonizing the Body's Subtle Energy Exchange with the Environment. And Elizabeth, I'd like for you to get in touch with him, because he's got a great deal of success in the treatment of EMF sensitivity by using these different signatures that he makes out of silver and then you wear or you use in your environment. There's many ways to do it, obviously. But I think he's got some things that really might help people with the EMF sensitivity, and also help understand what, you know, how we can increase scalar energy and kind of undo our sensitivity to EMF.
You are absolutely right about that, and the effect of the ley lines and the feng shui, the Chinese, you know, wind and water, also has an understanding of the effect of the ley lines and that scalar energy.
Right.
And I found that a lot of the remedies that I discovered worked were based on feng shui remedies that dealt with that low scalar energy. So you are absolutely right. There's a match, and it's very important to consider that, because it does have an effect on human health.
It does.
Yeah, I would love, I would love to talk to this guy.
Yeah, I think you'll love it. He started studying energy in, he had actually worked with, let's see, I think he worked with the Minister of Health in Egypt. He's in Egypt. But anyway, he studied the sacred sites and discovered the scalar energy there, ways of measuring it and then ways of reproducing it. And of course, he said it's not real good to, like, people get sick if they spend too much time in these sacred sites. You know, too much of this energy can be damaging, which is not surprising. But for those of us who are very sensitive to energy, and I know you and I both are, having the ability to increase scalar energy in our environment, especially when the environment isn't real friendly, is a great thing. So I think you'll enjoy reading his book and talking to him. He's
definitely. And on my own, when later when I had addressed a lot of those symptoms, I did go and to some of the sacred sites that are in the Southwest U.S. to do some of that research and see how I felt, and very, very consistently did feel much better in certain areas. And I've continued to share that knowledge with people. So I am very interested in what he's discovered.
Right, right. Well, he's got a whole science, a sacred geometry science behind it. I think he's like the number one in the world, because I've interviewed just about every expert on sacred geometry that there is. I've been doing this show 22 years, and in fact, my roommate for a while was one of the major sacred geometry experts in the world. And so every time when I would come home at midnight, he'd give me a half an hour lecture on sacred geometry. So I had my own little course there for a while, but. So I've been studying sacred geometry for a long time, but this guy has really done a lot to bring it to health. You know, I mean, there's mm-hmm. the sacred geometry for buildings, architecture, all of that. But then he's mm-hmm. got a lot, and he's got a whole chapter on EMF. So obviously, it's very important for that. So I wanted to introduce you to, even though I haven't interviewed him yet. I was supposed to interview him about 3 years ago, and I got deathly ill and lost my voice and had to cancel the interview. But I'm looking forward to interviewing him again, interviewing him for the first time, actually.
Right.
So would you like to give your contact information?
Sure. This is Kiplana. I have a website called emfconductor.com, and then it's Elizabeth. With a Z, dot Maxim, M-A-X-I-M, at Outlook.com. That's my email. And what I do on EMFconductor.com, I have books and where I publish the information, and I also have articles. As I've gone through, the more I discover, I share this, because I think propagation of this information is so important.
Mm-hmm. It is. Let's talk a little bit about. I'm sorry?
Well, one of the things I was going to say is that I try to put the information in a format that people can share with their healthcare providers.
Okay.
You know, doctors and people that you work with that you've interviewed on the show have a good understanding. So I've also encouraged people in an article, I say, to go back through your archives and listen and get some other resources in addition. I think we can help them.
Right. I do want to talk about a little bit of some of the other EMF environments. Dr. Norm Shealy was on the show, and he was talking about how EMFs are very concentrated in vehicles, especially high-end cars and airplanes. So if you're flying a lot in an airplane, especially the pilots who are flying in the flight crew, you can really get exposed to a lot of EMF waves. And he noticed that when you're exposed to a lot of EMF, you age quicker, you have a more tendency to get skin cancer and other degenerative diseases. So I did want to mention that. Would you like to tell us a little bit about, you've got a little bit about that in your book,
yeah,
environments that people may not realize are high in EMF.
Yes, they're so absolutely right about cars, and I have to admit that as our cars become, you know, go towards electrification, I'm a little concerned about that. You know, and when they
people
start
are getting
using
symptoms.
It with, yeah, and yeah. Another thing is that the telecom companies releasing more of the frequency in order to get better performance out of the networks. Well, that's got a trade-off too. So, for example, one of the frequencies I had a real hard time with was Bluetooth. Well, they want everybody to have Bluetooth headsets in the cars so that you aren't talking on your cell phone while you're driving, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that comes at a price because that frequency can cause problems and illness. If you go in a shopping mall, you're getting blasted with all sorts of frequencies. You've got the lights. You were talking about mm-hmm. The perfumes and the chemicals in there. Well, the lighting in those stores also emits that the ballasts from them emit frequencies that make people's eyes burn and can give headaches and things.
Right.
And if you go through a food court in a mall, you've got mm-hmm. Apple Pays going on, and you've got all the cash registers are now electronic now. You're just, it's mm-hmm. being bombarded from it. You've also got, in your home, you may be getting the frequencies from the technology, but a hairdryer, the refrigerator, any motor in your house, a ceiling fan is going to be giving off frequencies. If you have things plugged into your wall that can be leaking this stuff, mm-hmm. I write about that as well. People don't realize how they're getting bombarded, and you do feel old. That was another thing that really was very bad for me. I thought, I'm too young to feel this old. I'm too healthy to feel this sick.
Right.
And
yeah.
You feel like your life is over. Your best years are behind mm-hmm. you. And I was in my 30s.
Yeah.
And I mean, you really feel that way. I felt awful. And as I started to deal with the electromagnetic frequencies and relieve the symptoms, I felt myself again. Mm-hmm. And you feel like you're growing younger. You
right.
do. And
well, they say that aging is free radicals. I mean, you know, it's basically a Browning reaction. So, you know, when you have a bunch of free radicals, you have an increased risk of cancer, you have an increased risk of degenerative disease in general, and you do age. I mean, I'm here in Atlanta, and we see a lot of pilots and flight attendants, and they have, you know, a real serious problem with premature aging, and especially the international flights where they're up for so long and the, you know, lowered oxygen and everything. So
well,
that's,
one of
that's
the
something
things
that,
that I had noticed, if you look in certain areas where this they go prematurely gray, and it's almost like, you know, almost overnight, and they're and these men are young, and you look and they're and they're losing their hair as well. It's not just going gray, it's losing it, and it's tied to that EMF sensitivity.
Right, right.
If they don't see that as a symptom.
Yeah, the free radicals, I think there are machines that can measure the level of free radicals too, but free radicals can be treated with antioxidants. So, you know, that's something that, that you know, you can muscle test to see what antioxidant, what resveratrol. We use one called metazol, which is really good. It's a low molecular weight, lyky polyphenol. It's shown to decrease wrinkles, decrease abdominal fat, you know, the fat that causes metabolic syndrome, improve circulation. And so there are things that can be done to reverse these. And then, of course, the whole getting enough glutathione in you so that you don't block up the second phase of intracellular detoxification so that the free radicals don't skyrocket. These are all important things that your holistic integrative doctor can help you with. And I think it's important to understand that functional medicine is really the future, because it's gonna not only show you the problems with the I guess the detoxification problems and the other functional problems, but also help you avoid things like high homocysteine, which in your 50s is associated with increased risk of heart attack and stroke, especially with MTHFR. That's a detoxification defect. And it can reverse all of these things, and then therefore you can live a life where you don't feel old prematurely and you don't develop these degenerative diseases in your 50s.
Well, I absolutely agree, and I encourage people to try to seek out and find a functional medicine specialist, because they do have an understanding of the holistic and the healing approach, and it's so important. But I did want to ask you your thoughts on when people start to feel better, they sort of put out of their mind what caused it. So let's say you start getting these. What I'm finding is that people go back to the environment that caused or led them to be sick. How do you deal with that when you're treating your patients? Do you see that they go back to those old behaviors that got them sick to begin with?
They do, but then when they email me that they're sick again, we use remote applied kinesiology and figure it out pretty quickly. So, you know, we get them back on track. Some supplements, like the magnesium malic acid, at least in my patient population, I'm dealing with chemical and biotoxicity from mold mostly, they have to stay on magnesium malic acid, and they have to stay on ImmunoG PRP, which is our main immune supplement. There are others that some people test for, but those are the two main ones, and they have to stay on some sort of a homeopathic lymphatic supplement, so that because they have the silicones, you know, crapped up their lymphatic system. But so I remind them of that, and then a lot of times they get into mold again. You know, they'll get mold in the environment or run into mold somewhere and at the gym or something like that, and then they get sick again. So mold is something that is very, especially here in Georgia, and I'm sure most of the South, it's hard to completely stay away from mold.
In the Bay Area as well, because of all that fog that comes in, like when you go around looking at houses on an open house day, you can really smell the mold and mustiness. Especially in certain districts that are closer to the ocean. I was listening to one of your shows with Dr. Jill Carnahan, and something that she said really stuck out to me, that sicker quicker, which I actually noticed myself. And I have a friend of mine that, you know, was talking about moving back to the Bay Area, and I said, well, when I did that, I got sicker, faster, and much worse.
Right.
And it's like when your system has this memory of, oh, that's bad, and then it's exposed again, and your reaction is far worse. That histamine reaction is much worse. It's like your body is trying to get your attention. So that is something that I do run into with people, though, is they say, oh, I'm fine now. I can just go back to my old way, or I can stay in this environment that resulted in my being sick. And that is being a holistic doctor. I don't understand. That's part of it. It's body, mind, and spirit. It's that that thought process. And that makes me think that they're still being affected, because that when you are being affected by the MSS, you're not thinking right.
Right.
So your behavior is reflective of not clear thinking. And your body might feel better.
I want to introduce you to one other product that might help your clients. Take a listen to all of the shows that Ken Rola does. Ken is an expert on so many things. He's a engineer that has made some amazing scalar energy devices. And he has one called a Rest Shield. And I'm looking at one right now in my bedroom. I have one in my office. It's a scalar energy device that just puts out scalar energy. And so if somebody
is
is great. So if somebody is unable or unwilling to, you know, turn off their cell phone or put it on airplane mode because they really think they need to get the text from their kids, or, you know, unwilling to turn off the breakers. You know, Dr. Shealy just says turn off the breakers in your home, you know, or in your bedroom before you go to sleep. But not everybody can do that because they have obligations.
Right.
You know, I'm on call sometimes, and, you know, you just can't turn everything off. So, and not everybody can sleep in a Faraday cage. So, it just isn't real practical, especially if you sleep with somebody else. But this Rest Shield, that's why he calls it a Rest Shield, because it's a scalar energy device that helps people sleep. But it could, if you go back into an electromagnetically unsafe environment, it could counteract enough to make it tolerable. I think
that made me think, when you mentioned getting texts from your kids, I think that that is another one I am very concerned about, is with kids in classrooms and today with more and more technology going in there, and they have their cell phones and tablets and everything in the environment, and how this can affect with racy mind, and it can go a couple different ways. One is spacey, so you're kind of spaced out and you're having trouble concentrating, or it can make you like hyper. Well, those are symptoms of ADD or ADHD, but the problem with that is that these kids could get medicated to treat that, and that's not what's causing the problem. And that is, I actually have a lot of concern about that. Technology is good and bad. I love the idea of being able to put textbooks on, you know, these little devices instead of all that heavy book bag we had to deal with growing up. But for the kids in that classroom that are sensitive, I don't think they need to be medicated. There's other ways. And when you're talking about that Rest Shield, it'd be interesting if there was kind of a device that these kids could have that would help them when they're in a classroom.
Ken's working on a portable device, which may help. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the interview I did with Dr. Carlo. Dr. Carlo was paid by the cell phone companies to do $20 million worth of research, and he found that he did it on mice with, you know, cell phone radiation. He found that neuroepithelial brain tumors, parotid tumors, eighth cranial nerve tumors, and eye tumors, especially melanoma of the eye, because you can get a freckle in your retina. And I actually have one that started growing when I was using a Kindle a lot, because I was using it, I was listening to it up near my face, which you can't do. But anyway, so all of these tumors increase, and guess why he found that they increase? They increase because of increased free radicals. And Bluetooth is the worst. You put a Bluetooth in your ear, and it bores down and will cause parotid and eighth cranial nerve tumors, because that's where it goes, okay? So I would encourage everybody to read his book. Now, he wouldn't suppress the research, so he ended up having to run for his life, of course. They tried to kill him. And but this free radical thing is really, you see it all over the place. I mean, you see it all over the place with both chemical and electromagnetic sensitivity. You know,
and
these
what
high
I can
free
explain
radicals
about
are what cause all of this.
with the Bluetooth, well, you know, since you can't see what's happening inside your body, you're looking for a symptom. What happened with me when Bluetooth went on, I got in a very bad mood instantaneously. Mm-hmm. I turned the Bluetooth off, my mood was fine. I was really angry feeling and very, it was like somebody was squeezing me.
It was probably tight. Hitting your amygdala. You know, your amygdala mm-hmm. is a source of rage.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah.
So
changing neurotransmitters.
If people are saying, how would I know? That's the kind of testing you need to do. If you suddenly mm-hmm. feel different, what changed in your environment? And my husband was using a Bluetooth headset. I happened to be in the car, and that's when I noticed it. I would just feel so angry, and then he'd turn it off, and I was fine.
Right. Yeah. Well, they did studies on prisoners, violent prisoners, and found that they had heavy metal toxicity, and when they fixed that, they became much more reasonable. So, you know, there's a lot of different things pulling all of this together. You know, it's, we mm-hmm. have a very, very sick society in terms of chemicals and heavy metals. We have mercury causes rages, as everybody knows.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all you have to do is detox and you're fine. So, so basically, it all is one big thing. But you do have, it is a holistic view. The biotoxins from mold are very, very damaging. The biotoxins from bacteria can be very, very damaging. The mm-hmm. Some of the symptoms are the same with EMF sensitivity as with chemical or biotoxicities. And some people have everything going on at once.
Yep.
You know, it's very true. So.
Yeah, and you are correct.
That's where muscle testing comes in. I do consider EMF sensitivity in my patients and muscle test for it because it's a different treatment, as you know, very mm-hmm. different treatment. So,
and you
we're
are
coming
right
up on the end of our hour.
Okay.
Would you like to give your contact information one more time?
Sure. So I have a website called emfconductor.com. And then to get me by email, Elizabeth with a Z, .maxim@outlook.com.
Great, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a great conversation, and I learned a lot from your book because I really didn't realize before that the fault lines were a big problem with people with EMF sensitivity. I had no idea.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. This has been a wonderful opportunity. I really appreciate it, and I've enjoyed talking with you. I've learned so much from you. Learned from your shows
thank
and listening you. Back and pulling it all together, that whole holistic view. It's been great.
Oh, great. Well, we've been interviewing Dr. Elizabeth Maxman, her book, Riding the Waves, Diagnosing, Treating, and Living with EMF Sensitivity. Next week, Dr. Jill Carnahan's going to be back on talking about brain health, reversing Alzheimer's and dementia. And then on the 3rd of February, Dr. Sam Osmagazi's on with Bosnia Pyramid Healing Energy. He was recommended by Ken. And then Dr. Kareem, who we mentioned earlier in the show, will be talking about biogeometry on the 10th of February. Please join us next week for Temple of Health Radio Show.